First one is, if you think out of the tree of knowledge, then you're thinking, I need to do more to get closer to God. Performance-based. If you're thinking out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you are thinking, I have to do more in order to please God. I got to read my Bible more. I've got to pray longer. I've got to show up every time the doors are open at the church. I've got to forgive people. I've got to ask for more patience. I've got to do more. That's a result of living from the tree of knowledge. If you're living out of the tree of life, what you do is you desire, or what we desire to have is already done. It's already done in Christ. It's all we have to do is receive it. We have to receive what he has already finished. He's already done what we need in our life. He's given us healing. He's given us hope. He's given us patience. He's given us the ability to forgive. All of those things. He's already done it in Jesus. And as a result, then he gives back to us. Well, today, the title of the message is Two Trees Reveal Two Approaches to God. Two trees reveal two approaches to God. What a strange title. We're going to start in the Gospel of John, chapter 5. You can start there, and I'm going to be reading a few verses, and then we're going to be headed back to Genesis, back into the book of beginnings, and see where these two trees that they were planted by the Lord, established by the Lord, and what they actually mean in everyday life. So that's kind of where we're going here. I have been participating in a small group of guys, and we've been going through this curriculum called Freedom. Again, it's kind of a generic title, but the information is some of what I'm pulling from today to bring to you. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to cover the whole course by the time that I leave. But what I want to do is really shift your thinking about how you're approaching God and then how you're living life as a result of shifting to this new way of thinking. So that's my purpose. You know, when you approach somebody that you've never met before, sometimes you're not sure what you're going to get. And perhaps they're smiling already, or perhaps they're not. Like, I'd like to introduce you to my two friends. All right, one's name is Bowser. So are you, let's get acquainted with Bowser. Now, if Bowser was sitting there and you were approaching him, what would you be feeling inside? You'd be happy, right? I suppose. I mean, you would be like, oh yeah, he's friendly, and you'd be able to scratch his ears, and maybe he would crawl up in your lap. And I mean, it's a good sense. You're like approaching Bowser and he's like, you know, let's get acquainted. Let's learn to know each other and so forth. But I have another friend, and his name is Yowzer. I think he went to the dentist recently, and he's showing you his new teeth. So how would you approach Yowzer? You get a baseball bat, right? You're like, I'm going to protect myself because this is not the thing that... He looks like we're not friends, and he doesn't want to be friendly. Some people see God that way. Some people see God as just mad at sin, mad at the world, mad at the judgmental. Some people see God that way. They see him like Yowzer. They don't see him like Bowser. And Jesus came into the world to say, hey, not to compare God to a dog, but Jesus came into the world to say, hey, you know, my Heavenly Father is more like Bowser. He's excited to see you. He's excited for your growth. He's excited to help you more than like Yowzer. I can't stand to be around you. I wish you weren't on the earth. I wish I hadn't created you. That's not God. And so Jesus is, again, trying to relate to how his Heavenly Father sees us. And that's what I want to shift for you this morning through the two trees. Let's look at John chapter 5. And we see in this, there's a dialogue going on between Jesus and the religious leaders. We see in verse 16 that they were wanting to persecute him because of all the good things that were taking place. Isn't that odd? Jesus was doing amazing good things, and the religious leaders wanted to persecute him because they didn't like the fact that God was doing good things. That shows something about their heart. So we come to verse 37. And I had other verses, but I'm going to speed up here and go right to the meat here. Verse 37, Jesus is talking, and he says, "The Father who sent me has testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you. For you do not believe the one he sent. You study the scriptures diligently, because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life." What Jesus is doing here, he's pointing out to these leaders that he's the one that the scriptures is talking about. And yet they're blinded because they're operating out of a different tree. They're operating out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil rather than operating out of the tree of life. And he's trying to bring them into the tree of life, but they are blinded. They're reading the scripture, but they're doing it for the purpose of information. They're not doing it for the purpose of relationship. And that's what Jesus is trying to communicate to them, and they're just not getting it. In fact, they're getting even more angry as a result of him being so pointed about what they were doing. And as a result, they wanted to kill him, and eventually they did. But that was also God's purpose as well. Well, let's jump back into Genesis chapter 2. And I want to kind of show you about these two trees, and then we're going to look at the approach that we can take to God if we're in one or the other, and then also how to live life out of one tree versus the other. In Genesis chapter 2, we look at verses 7 and 8, and we see here we go. "And then the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils and the breath of life, and man became a living being." Now, the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. I'm going to go ahead and read 8 or 9 as well. "The Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground, the trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden, there was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Now let's jump down to verse 15. It says, "Now the Lord God formed out of the ground all the wild beasts." Let's see, I jumped over. Let me back up here. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" There's the context of the two trees. God planted them there on purpose. He wanted those that he had formed as human beings, he wanted them to come to the level of making a choice. Someone pointed out in between services that this last verse that I read, it does not say if you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It says when you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God knew ahead of time where the human race was going, but he also had a plan to set us free and to take us out. Let's dive in today. The two trees in the garden offer different approaches to God. You see, we have the tree of life, and we also have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What's the difference? Two basically approaches. The tree of life approach is that you actually enjoy God. You actually enjoy him. Romans 14, 17 through 18 reads, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval." There's a friend of mine named Kurt Fox, and he's passed over to the other side to be with Jesus. But one of the things that he shared with me that stuck with me is that this verse is written in sequence. In other words, you want to have joy in your life? You don't start there. You start at righteousness. and righteousness brings you peace, and peace brings you joy. And he said, you can't start the other way around to try to get joy without peace and righteousness. But righteousness puts you into peace with God, and peace with God makes you have a joyful life. That's the progression. And I never forgot that when he shared that with me. So the tree of life approach is that we actually enjoy God. We enjoy being around him. We enjoy what he has to offer. We enjoy following his commands. We actually love it. Now, the tree of knowledge of good and evil is that we approach God, we endure God. We don't enjoy him, we endure him. We think, oh no, another Bible study. Oh no, another church service. Oh no, I got to read my Bible again. It says they studied the scriptures, but Jesus said, you think that you will find eternal life in the information that you are getting. And Jesus says, no, the information is supportive to lead you to me, to a relationship with a loving God. The question is, what tree are you eating from? And we'll, you know, unfold that as we walk down through. But another point that I have is that eating from the wrong tree is not just the first day of sin. It's actually a different way of life. It's a different way of thinking. It's a different way of approaching God. In other words, Adam and Eve just didn't disobey God one day and went back to normal. No, everything was changed from that point. They didn't just have a bad day and then everything went back to the way it was before. No, what happened is that when they disobeyed God, they breached a contract, a spiritual contract with God. And as a result of that, their thinking changed. Up until that point, they'd never been afraid. They were never had any shame. They never concerned about their future. They were always had their needs met because God, the Father, was providing for them. And then suddenly, when they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which the enemy tricked them, deceived them in doing, but yet they chose, because they knew what God had said, they chose to eat from the tree. And so as a result of this deception and choice, they ended up experiencing shame for the first time, never before. They ended up experiencing fear of God. They never feared God before. They ended up blaming each other, and that had never happened before. So something switched, something changed from that point on, and they began to live from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of the tree of life. Chris Hodges wrote a lot of this materials from Highlands Church, and I think it's called Grow Church now, but he tells this story about approaching people either out of the tree of knowledge or the tree of life. He said he was taking an airplane ride back from New Orleans to Baton Rouge, and he got on the plane. It was Southwest Airlines, and so you get to pick your seats. He came in, plopped to the window, and kind of settled in, and he said, up the aisle came this gal. And she was like, woo, woo, hey, hey, high five, carrying her drink in her hand. You know where she had been, right? That's right, Bourbon Street. And Bourbon Street was still coming alongside of her. Well, what do you know? She plopped down in the seat right beside of him. It's like, okay, this is going to be an interesting ride. The airplane goes off. The cart comes through. She orders another drink. And then she looks over at him and says, what do you do? Now, when you're a pastor at that point, you have two options. You can either tell the truth or you can lie. He says, I think I'll tell the truth. He said, I'm a pastor. She says, huh, we're all passengers here. He said, no, I'm a pastor of a church. She goes, oh, I don't like Christians. He said, I don't like Christians either, that kind. And suddenly she starts to sober up a little bit. She's like, well, what do you mean? He said, in fact, I started my own church because I didn't like that kind of Christian. Amen. He says, what do you think your God thinks about this? And she pointed to her drink that she was wobbling. He said, right now, I don't think God cares one iota about that drink. He cares about your heart. And if you would understand how much he loves you and cares about you, and you would let him into your heart, then he might speak to you about that drink. She said, I ain't never heard anything like that before. Now, how was he approaching her? Out of the tree of life, right? not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if he would have approached her out of the knowledge of good and evil, he would have condemned her and said, you're wrong and you need to change your ways. You need to get it right. But instead, he switched it up into a life-giving conversation that got her attention, that she began to think about God differently than she had before she walked on that plane. So that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about living out of the tree of life rather than the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Just kind of a real life example there for you. Number two, different thought processes depending on the approach. I'm going to give you three. You've never heard his voice, Jesus said. Again, he's speaking to the religious leaders. Nor have you seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one that he sent. He's talking to these religious leaders, and he's trying to communicate that God as Father is not the way that they understand him to be. I'm going to give you three comparisons here between the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. The first one is, if you think out of the tree of knowledge, then you're thinking, I need to do more to get closer to God. Performance-based. If you're thinking out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you are thinking, I have to do more in order to please God. I got to read my Bible more. I've got to pray longer. I've got to show up every time the doors are open at the church. I've got to forgive people. I've got to ask for more patience. I've got to do more. That's a result of living from the tree of knowledge. If you're living out of the tree of life, what you do is you desire, or what we desire to have is already done. It's already done in Christ. It's all we have to do is receive it. We have to receive what he has already finished. He's already done what we need in our life. He's given us healing. He's given us hope. He's given us patience. He's given us the ability to forgive. All of those things. He's already done it in Jesus. And as a result, then he gives back to us. Well, how does that really take place? Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 and 11 tells us. It records this new covenant that we are in. Let me read it to you. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to another, know the Lord, because they all know me. From the least of them to the greatest. Now this is a big shift, because in the Old Testament, it was kind of like a checklist. They had the Ten Commandments and many beyond that, and they had to make sure they kept checking off the list. But in the New Testament, it says the list is melded or welded into our minds and into our hearts. In other words, we're in love with God and we end up keeping the commandments, and we don't even know we are, because our love is overshadowing our conscious understanding that we're keeping the law. Does that make sense? That's where we are in Christ, living out of the tree of life. It's not a checkbox anymore. It's not a to-do list. It's actually an internal transformation that takes place, that we follow the Lord and we sometimes aren't even aware that we're keeping the law, because we're conscious that we're keeping the law, because we're so in love with him, we enjoy him so much. Here's another one. If you're living or thinking out of the tree of life, you're always trying to get God's approval. Always trying to get God's approval. What an exhausting way to live. Wondering if God loves you, whether he hears you, whether he'll answer you. That's living out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Some children grow up with busy parents. They wondering whether or not their parents actually like them, actually care for them. I remember my oldest child, Rachel, she's here, so I'm going to embarrass her here for a moment. No, I'm not embarrassing her. This is this is embarrassment for me. This is what's going on here. Is that I think she was about 4 or 5. I was reading a newspaper, which dates me, obviously. You don't read the newspaper anymore. And she was talking to me and wanted to get my attention. I'm reading the newspaper. She crawls up in the chair and she gets in front of the newspaper and she takes her hands and puts it on my face. Ooh, you got that one. She puts it on my face and she turned my face right into hers. I mean, she's going to get my attention that day. And sometimes that's what we think that God's like. We have to really get in front of him and turn his attention. And yet in reality, that's not the case. I mean, immediately when you think about God, he's there. Immediately when you wonder whether he'll forgive you, he's already forgiven you. The moment that you think about it, it's just so different sometimes in how we process him. And then the tree of life, if you want to live out of the tree of life, you accept that he's already loves you. In fact, he even likes you. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? You know, God's obligated to love me. I don't think he likes me very much, but I think he's obligated. No, wait a minute. No, God loves you. In fact, he likes you. That's just who he is. I mean, he created you and he misses you if you pull away. He delights when you come back. And that's who God is. And that's thinking out of the tree of life that God loves me and he even likes me. And that's important for us to understand. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 9, it talks about what Jesus did in verse 8. Verse 8, it says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And since we have been justified by his blood, how much more we will be saved from him, from God's wrath through him. Let me back up and catch the verse before that. It says, but God demonstrated his own love for us while we were sinners. See, God didn't give lip service the fact that he loves us. We give lip service to people that we love them. You know, loved ones or family members or whatever. Sometimes we just give lip service. God never gave lip service. He demonstrated the fact that he loved us. He actually went to the place. I pulled out five things that happened to Jesus and may have happened to you. All right? But you don't have to stay there if this has happened. He was betrayed. Have you ever been betrayed? He was betrayed. He was falsely accused. Have you ever been falsely accused? Jesus was too. He was rejected. You ever been rejected? Well, Jesus was too. He was abused. He was abused emotionally. He was abused physically. He was abused sexually. All of those things. He was. And he came through those things. He was humiliated. And yet he walked through all of those. He overcame. He got the victory. See, you and I have experienced different things in life, and I may not have experienced the things that you have, and you haven't experienced the things that I have, and some people have experienced more horrible things than other people have, but the fact is Jesus has experienced it all. And he demonstrated the fact that you don't have to live with that kind of bondage or that kind of view in your life or unhealedness. You can be free and you can be healed. And that's a beautiful thing in Jesus. He's experienced it all. The last comparison is the tree of life. Is that if you're thinking, I need to obey God, you do it out of duty. You do it out of duty. I don't know if this dates me, but I don't know if you remember that commercial, Dunkin' Donuts, it's time to make the donuts again. You remember that one? It's time to make the donuts. I guess not. First service got it. All right. These are too young here in this one. But there's a little guy who's, you know, 4 in the morning and is like, time to make the donuts again. He's doing his duty. And that's what we have to realize, that when we get to that mentality, we're operating out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil rather than the tree of life. I have to read my Bible again. I have to pray again. I have to go to worship again. I have to forgive this person. I have to. No, we've already fallen into the tree of life. And then the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Then the tree of life is that we follow his commands out of delight. We get to read the Bible. Isn't this amazing? I mean, this book, I probably got 25 or 35 of these things in my house. That's a privilege. There's places in the world that don't have one of these. They don't have the New Testament. They don't have hardly anything. They might have a page and they're so grateful. And yet, we get to have these. That's when you know you're operating out of the tree of life. When you're grateful, even though you have plenty, and even though you have way more than enough, you're still grateful. Grateful we can worship. Grateful we can surrender. Grateful that we can have freedom. Grateful, I mean, just gratefulness flowing out of this. That, you know, I don't really think that when we understand of living out of the tree of life, that we never really have bad days. We might have bad moments, but never bad days. And John, 1 John talks about the fact that following his commands are not a burden. He says, this is the love. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. If we thought his commands were burdensome, then we're operating out of the tree of knowledge, not out of the tree of life. It says, whosoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son does not have life. Both verses are pretty clear and meaningful. Number three, responses of those living from the tree of life, or from the life of Jesus within us. What are the responses? In Deuteronomy 30:19, God says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live. I love God. He can be my test taker all day long, man, because he gives me the options and gives me the right answer. He said, I set before you life and death. Choose life. That's the answer. What a great God. He said, this is the right answer. Please choose that so you can live out of the tree of life. So what is it going to take to live out of this level, either approaching God or even living with others? First of all, fall in love with Jesus. Amen. Fall in love with Jesus. Maybe you're there, that ready, or maybe you've fallen away from Jesus. But there's a verse in John chapter 14, verse 15 that says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, in this sentence, there's actually the two trees, depending how you say it, separated by the comma. Because you can say that sentence, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. I mean, that would be the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You're gonna do it out of duty just because you love me. Chris is talking about those guys that, old-timers, and he said it just grates them. They stand up and say, yeah, 25 years ago, I was called to the ministry. And I didn't want to do it, but I surrendered to God. 25 years ago, it's been miserable ever since, but I knew I had to do it, you know. It's just like, you got to be kidding me. Fall in love with somebody. How do you fall in love with somebody? The same way you fall in love with your spouse or friends or people you like, you get around them, you hang around them, you get to know who they are, you get to know their likes and dislikes, you get to know the things that really float the boat and the things that don't. That's what happens, and you end up falling in love with somebody. There's a marriage book out called Fall in Love, Stay in Love, and the premise of the book is, if you work around somebody long enough and get to know them, you will fall in love with them, period. He says, as a matter of fact, because we're built to love. Best thing you can do if your marriage is strained is pray together. 5 minutes, pray together every day. See what happens after a week or two. Something will change. If Wanda and I built our marriage on following commands, then the only thing we would be focusing on is don't get a divorce and don't commit adultery. That would be it. If we're following the law, then don't get a divorce and don't commit adultery. That would be our relationship. What kind of relationship would we have? Not a great one, right? Because that's the lowest common denominator of following the law. I don't want to get a divorce. I don't want to commit adultery. Would you like being around us if that was our focus? I don't think so. But that's not our focus. Our focus is we're in love with each other, and we're seeking even day how to please one another that is a blessing to each other, and how we express the love that's meaningful to each other, and we enjoy doing it. We're growing in it. Therefore, the idea of committing adultery or getting a divorce, that's not even in our minds because we're so much in love. And that's what it means. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for people that are so much in love that following the law is like, what do you mean? That's not even in my thinking because I'm so in love. I'm so in love. If I wasn't in love in that way with my wife and just following the law, I would be looking for perhaps or even thinking about other options. But I could care less about other women because I'm so much in love with my wife. That's the way we all should live in our relationship with God as well. So, again, fall in love with Jesus. You just got to get around him. You got to read his word, not to get information, but to understand his character and his nature and his promises and his blessing. And as a result, you get to know him. So it's not void of reading the word. It's just the grid through which we come. Serve him through relationship. Serve him through relationship. Jesus said in Matthew 5:17, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Very different from sometimes how we think. We don't live based on the Ten Commandments anymore. We live in relationship with God. We have the same laws. It's just a different approach than how they did in the Old Testament. The laws are now written on our heart, and they're in our mind, not on some piece of paper that we check the list off. Number three, respond to all sin as Jesus handled it. Respond to all sin as Jesus handled it. John 8:10-11, there's an explanation about a woman that was caught in adultery, and the men that caught her, the law said that she needed to be stoned. So they brought her to Jesus expecting him to follow the law. If you know this story, he didn't do that. He instead posed the question, because he's operating out of the tree of life. He is the tree of life. He posed the question, okay, guys, if this is the law, then any one of you that is without sin, throw the first stone. And all of them left, one at a time, because they knew that they couldn't in good conscience do that. Well, the only one that could have thrown the stone was the one that had given the invitation. But he didn't. Here's what he says. Jesus stood up and said to her, woman, where are they? No one has condemned you. And she said, no one, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn you. And go, and now, and leave your life. Go now and sin no more, or leave your life of sin. When we're operating out of the tree of life and sin comes into the picture, there's two choices. There's heap condemnation on people or give them a opportunity to get out. We call that conviction. Invite conviction. The wrong way is to heap condemnation. Oh, you're never going to get out of that. You messed up again. I knew it was coming. That's condemnation. But conviction is, here's the way out. Here's the way out so that you can be free. And he really gave this woman an opportunity to get out. Now, the thing that he did is that sometimes isn't done in church. Churches will say, neither do I condemn you, stay in your life of sin. That's not what Jesus said. He said, neither do I condemn you. I forgive you, but now leave your life. Here's the truth. This is not good for you. It's not good for anybody around you. Leave that life. I've got something better for you. That's what he's telling her, essentially, in that, because he's operating out of the tree of life. So he didn't condemn her, but he didn't say, stay in your sin. He said, leave that. Get free of it. Choose something different. Get into the tree of life. And then finally, when you live out of the tree of life, you guard your heart from the tree of knowledge of good and evil coming back in, or responses. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart more than anything else, because the source of your life flows from it. That's probably a little different translation than what you might have written there, but that's the God's Word translation. It says, guard your heart more than anything else, because the source of your life flows from it. Now, guarding your heart doesn't mean that you set up walls and don't let anybody in, and set up security systems and speed dial 911 in case any intruders show up. That's not what he's saying. He basically is saying, I want you to evaluate your heart and see if you're operating from the tree of life principles, or are you operating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil principles? That's what he's saying. In other words, examine your heart. See if something has filled up your heart in the wrong way rather than filled up your heart in the right way. That's what he's saying about guarding your heart. David did that so well when in Psalm 139, at the very end, he said this. He says, search me, O God, and see if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. So David had a great handle on this guarding his heart. He wanted to live from the tree of life. He understood how to live from the tree of life in what he went through, and how God forgave him and excused him and got him free. And so he didn't want to leave that ever. And he made this prayer, search me, O God, and see if there's any offensive way in me so I can get it out, and then lead me in the everlasting way. Here's the question. Maybe you've already been examining yourself, and that is, what approach have you been living life in your relationship with God? Has it been out of knowledge of good and bad, or has it been out of the tree of life, which love is at the forefront, and relationship is the glue that holds you together? And as sin enters the picture, that you actually get convicted. I confess that. God, that's wrong. I don't want it out, because your word says that it's not good for me or anybody else. I want it out. God, I want your freedom, not condemnation. What, you stupid? Well, you did that. Why did you? No, that's condemnation. That's of the enemy. That's of the devil. And so we have to, again, figure this thing out. And then finally, guard our heart. Are you guarding your heart? Again, I've thrown out here some questions, a kind of self-evaluation, but bring you to a place that as we journey through these next couple of weeks, just bring you to a place of evaluating how you are thinking, and to realize that God has called us to live, first of all, to approach Him out of the tree of life thinking. He welcomes us. He loves us. He's like Bowser. Come on in. He's not like Yowzer. That's like showing his teeth, saying, I wish you weren't here. And yet sometimes that thinking can creep into us, or maybe other people impose, or maybe the Christians that are believers in Christ, but still living from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, haven't God figured out yet, and may ended up doing more damage than good. They'll figure it out eventually. But when we figure it out, it'll be a lot easier for them. Why don't you stand with me as Emily comes and closes out the service? And again, if you're here and you say, wow, I need some transition in my life. I realize that I've been thinking in a different way than how you've just described, and I want to change. There'll be folks available for you to pray. Are with you to pray with you here in a few moments. In fact, if you're scheduled to pray, come on up. Come on up front. Just come on up right now as Emily comes and closes out. And if you've got something you need to do business with God, don't leave here. Even coming to Christ. I want to give my life to Christ. These folks will help you. They'll get you started. It's a beautiful journey.